Hello, my friends. Hello, my life warriors, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to the Day In, Day Out podcast. Woo! Today on episode 234, I was very lucky to have Kevin Palmieri on the podcast. He is the CFO of a Next Level University. He is the co-host of a global top 100 podcast called Next Level University. And yeah, I have to say, my man is a podcast veteran and a half. He has done over 930 episodes of his podcast with his co-host. I got to say, we talked about many things: how he got the podcast started, what drives him, and basically how he's managed to make the success of his podcast and where he wants to take it next. It was a joy speaking to him. I look forward to speaking to him again in the future. And yeah, so please sit back, enjoy the show, and yes, let's go. Ha ha. Peace. Ha ha ha. Oh. Hello, my friends. Hello, my life warriors. Wherever you are in the world, welcome to the Day In, Day Out podcast. Woo! Today on episode 234, I am very lucky to have, privileged to have, and this is where I must really get his name, family name wrong, like I do for many people, Kevin Palmieri. Yes, he is the CFO of the Next Level University, which he also has a podcast, which is a global top 100 podcast. He is currently on 900 and something plus episodes. Well, it's about 934, which live right now. He's a machine, I tell you. He's not a machine. He's a man. No, he's a machine. Kevin, how are you today?
I am doing very well, my friend. Again, I did a little research and I know I'm going to have to keep the energy up, Miwa, if I am going to keep up with you. So let's see what we get today.
I don't know about that. I'm just a mere mortal. But like, look, like for someone like yourself, all I've got to say is, yeah, look, I seldomly come across people which have done more podcasts than me. Yeah. I think I'm like in all my episodes, maybe I'm going to go 5 to possibly 8, but you fiend. Before I go there, now, who were you before you know what I mean, these 900 and something plus episodes? Because I've done a little bit of research. I know a little, but yeah, who were you before?
I was just a kid trying to figure out life. I didn't know what I wanted out of life. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't know where I wanted to end up. I had no idea, Miwa. I didn't know who I was. I think, and that's kind of the through line of my life and my story, is I've learned more in the last 5 years through podcasting and this journey than I did in the first 27 years of my life. I've learned more in the last quarter of my life than in the first three quarters. And that self-awareness has helped me get to where I am today. And I'm grateful. I'm very grateful for that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because this is the thing, with my little bit of research, I know you sort of bounced around from a job to job before you kind of found your, can I say, temporary career for about a year to 2 years? Mm-hmm. And then you're like, yeah, no, I'm done. It's like, mm-hmm. So what, other people going to university, well, college for you guys, mm-hmm. going off to college, you went, no, that's not the life for me. How did you know, having that awareness is a very rare thing to have, you know?
Yeah, I don't know how I knew. I think in my family, it was kind of normal. Nobody in my family went to college. So for me, it just made sense for me not to. And I didn't have somebody pushing me to do it. Where I think a lot of people, my guidance counselors and my teachers, and my sports coaches, they all said I should do it. But I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life, but I knew I didn't want to go to college. And I'm grateful. I am so grateful I didn't. Did I miss a lot of opportunity and experience? I'm sure. Mm. But I also gained a lot of experience. To your point, when all my friends went off to college, I was pumping gas at the gas station. I was the townie gas station attendant. And then I went on to become a personal trainer, and I cleaned bathrooms and floors at a hospital. I drove a truck, a forklift. I was in construction. I was on call firefighter for a short bit. And then I ended up getting a really good opportunity at what's called weatherization. So it's just energy efficiency in buildings. And that's what I did. I think I did that for 3 or 4 years. Oh. And that changed my life in a number of different ways. But I never knew what I wanted to do until I started podcasting. Mm. When I started podcasting, it was like, that's the thing. That was the first time I'd ever felt that. Everything else was about money, almost over everything. That's the reason I stayed for 3 or 4 years at that job, is because I was making really good money. The second I started podcasting, I said, that's the thing. And I'm going to figure this out. That was the biggest shift, the biggest pivot in my life. And I think it's because I tried so many things. Mm. I've tried so many different things. And I thought, okay, that's not it. I thought I would love driving a truck for 8 hours a day. I did. I enjoyed it. But it was kind of, it wasn't for me. And I thought I loved being a personal trainer, and I did, but there was aspects of it that I was like, you know what? This isn't for me. The podcast thing just stuck, and it is my favorite thing in the world. I get to spend time talking to awesome people and talking about podcasting, and that was my dream. So it genuinely is a dream come true at this point.
Mm. No, you raise a very good point. Like, you tried many things, because like, this is the thing, like back in the day when I was like at that fresh face age to go into university, you know, as we say here in the UK, like my mindset was, yes, university, you must go to university. It's the best thing to do. It gives you the most options and everything like this. But as time's gone on, and basically the debt, what comes with that and everything like this, I just feel sometimes not a lot of people that like dabble into other things, because like, that's what I think your sort of early, like your late teens, your early 20s are meant to be. You dabble, you kind of get a feel for what's going in, not just like, this is it, this is the one path. Because the amount of people who get to, I would say, even their late 20s and like, I make a mistake, and it's a little bit too late, you know?
Yeah, there's so much necessity. So I ended up leaving. I had a very good job. I made 6 figures, and I realized that I didn't want to do that anymore. And I was privileged enough to have the opportunity to leave that job. I am a white male in the United States of America, so I have opportunities presented to me that other people might not, first of all. Mm-hmm. Second of all, I didn't have any family. I didn't have children. I didn't have a lot of quote unquote responsibility. So I could leave my job and take a big risk because there was nobody else relying on me. And I think that when you go to college, you're already starting $100,000 behind. Now, yes, you have an education that might bring you places that I couldn't get, but there's that necessity where I didn't have, the only debt I had was the debt I created for myself trying to build the business. And my necessity was different. My necessity still is different to this day, but it's interesting because my safety net is probably a lot smaller than somebody's safety net who went to college. So I think that extra necessity probably helps me, but I'm also a little bit reckless when it comes to making decisions. So I think I was made to do the route I'm doing, and I'm grateful I found that. I really am.
Mm. So like, this is the thing, like after like sort of going like with your job, your job before podcasting, you had to travel around the country a lot. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like, were you like just sitting in some motel room, just staring at the wall, like going, oh man, what am I doing?
Like, not really. No. Because I'll give a little story. I got the opportunity.
I love a story.
I got the opportunity to go back to this. It was kind of like a little trade school, and it was 2 weeks long. You learned a new trade and they connected you with a potential employer at the end. Mm. And I said, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, let me give this a shot and see what happens. So I learned residential weatherization. So the people who come in and they work in your attic and they weather strip your windows, I learned that. And at the end, the lady who brought me in said, we have this really good opportunity for you. It's a company that's in Boston, and I live like an hour outside of Boston. And she said, the only downside is there's travel involved. And I said, I am not interested in traveling. I don't even want to drive to Boston. I'm not going to drive an hour every day. She said, well, hear me out. You're going to make anywhere from $50 to $100 an hour. And I said, what do you mean? There's no way this is real. And she said, it is. You basically work for the government and state. And I said, all right, I'm in. Like $100 an hour, I'm in. I'll do this. So the first job I did, it was the second time I met my boss. The first time I met my boss, I walked in. We had a 5-minute conversation. He said, hey, you're good. You're definitely going to fit the culture here. You're clearly a hard worker. You're in. I'll call you when we have a job. And I said, all right, sure. Doesn't seem too legitimate, but let's give it a shot. So he called me one day and he said, Kev, we're good. We're moving. We have a job down in Delaware. And I live in Massachusetts at this point. Delaware is like an 8-9 hour drive, depending on where you are.
Yeah.
Right. So
not a pleasant journey.
Not a pleasant journey. So the second time I ever met my boss, I got into a car with him, packed up a suitcase. I drove 8 hours to a different state to live in a house with 700 other strangers to go do a job I had never done before, because we were working in giant schools and fire stations and police departments and all sorts of different places. So that's how that journey started for me. But I remember the first week my boss said, so Kev, the only thing is you're going to be making $10 an hour less than everybody else. And I was like, well, what am I going to make? Like $4 an hour? That's not real. And he said, so you'll be making $50 an hour. Everybody else makes 60 because this is your probation period. And the first week I made, you know, $2,000 before taxes. And I said, I'm in. And for me, it was all about the money. I enjoyed the money. I'm very money driven.
Yeah.
And that brought it.
Yeah. But you know what? That's a trippy story because, okay, no, seriously, because, okay, now, normal route, that's sort of like, is like you get educated to a certain level.
And yeah.
Like you get a certain amount and you get another amount. And then basically you sort of get to maybe 3-4 jobs in if you go down one particular career route to get $50 to $100 an hour.
Yeah.
But to like go, yes, okay, great. $2,000 going. But no one actually sort of talks about these other routes, if you get what I mean, in life to sort of get more than a decent wage, like fantastic wage. You know what I mean? That's quite crazy, you know?
That was life-changing. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I went down to Delaware, I remember I did not have enough money to get groceries. All I got was deli meat, bread, and chips. And since I had a gym membership that I could take with me, because it was an Anytime Fitness gym membership, I had access to the gym down the street. So I ate deli meat, basically sandwiches and chips, and went to the gym for the first week. And I couldn't really afford anything else. And then after that, it was just like, I got addicted to the money. And it was awesome. It was really cool to travel, because I had never traveled that much. So, you know, I worked in Delaware. I worked in Virginia Beach. I worked in New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, Rhode Island. I was always on the road, and it was a grind and it was difficult. But when I was on the road, I was making money.
Yeah.
And I was always making really good money. So to me, it was worth trading in all the other parts of my life for a few years. It really was.
Mm. So like, this is the thing, look, you're making good money. You're traveling, you're getting like, how can I put it? You're getting much more experience than most probably a hell of a lot of your peers at your age, maybe even older, like going around seeing the country. Now, why jack that all in? Why jack that, how can I say, nice stability to like go, hey, you know what? I'm going to do a podcast.
It's a great question. It's a great question. So my girlfriend at the time and I moved up to New Hampshire, and by all outside standards, everything was awesome. I had a beautiful girlfriend. I had a good job. I had a sports car, a new apartment. I had just done a bodybuilding show. So I had the body of my dreams. Genuinely, from the outside, people must have said, wow, he's really living the dream. But my girlfriend at the time wanted to move to California, and she wanted to chase her dreams. And I gave her every reason in the world not to. I said, gas is high, cost of living is high, blah, just a bunch of excuses, because I was scared that I was going to get left behind. And I did. She ended up leaving me. She left me and went and chased her dreams, which is the best thing that she could have done. I'm proud of her to this day for doing that. Mm-hmm. But when she left me, I had to look in the mirror and I didn't like what I saw. I was super insecure. I was not confident. I didn't like who I was. I didn't like who I was as a man. So that's when I started personal development, Miwa. Mm-hmm. I started personal development after I got my heart broken and I hit rock bottom. When I started that journey, one of the things I said to myself was, I'm going to make the most money I've ever made this year because I think that will fix all these problems I have. And I got promoted to a foreman. And when you're a foreman, you're on every job from the beginning to the very end. So that year, I was on the road for 10 months. In 10 months out of the 12 months, I was living in hotels every single week.
That's a churn. That's brutal.
It was brutal. And these hotels were not nice. There's hypodermic needles. There's blood on the walls. Like we were not, you know, it wasn't in the contract for us to be staying at the Ritz-Carlton. We were staying at the cheapest hotels you could pretty much afford. But we got to the end of the year. And again, it was kind of easy. It was easy for me to grind because I knew the money was there. So I could stay up for 25, 26, 30 hours straight. It didn't matter. I like you said, I am a machine in some regards, right? But we get to the end of the year. I have my final pay stub. I'm standing at my kitchen table because my girlfriend took the chairs because they were hers and I never got new ones because I was never home. So I'm opening my pay stub and I made $100,000 at 26 with no college degree. And that was my goal. But I remember in that moment, it was a flashback to when my girlfriend left me because I said, oh, you know what? I put so much emphasis on this external stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm still miserable. I'm still not happy. I'm still insecure. I'm just not, it didn't fix anything. It didn't fix all these cracks in my character that I thought it would. A few months after that, I went on a podcast. I went on my business partner co-host podcast. After that podcast, right after, I said to my buddy, imagine if you could do that for a living. And he said, you know, you can, right? A couple of weeks later, I bought all the equipment. I had my podcast on SoundCloud. I was doing episodes. And I stopped caring about my job almost overnight. I stopped caring about my job. I didn't care about the money. I cared about podcasting because it was something that I actually felt, number one, I was good at. Yeah. And number two, I actually enjoyed it. I really enjoyed having conversations like you know, with people that have cool things going on. And as that year went on, it just got harder and harder for me to show up to work. I was calling out. I was showing up late. I was leaving the job site early. I'd have to be on the job site at 7 a.m. on Monday. Yeah. I would sleep in my bed in Massachusetts from 10 p.m. until like 1 a.m. I'd get up and drive 5.5-6 hours straight to the job site and then work. And I'd go to the gym after. And then Friday was the opposite. Right? That was the opposite. And it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And the reason I left that job, I woke up one morning in New Jersey, cold morning, 5:15, my alarm goes off. I sit up, I slide to the edge of the bed and I'm lacing up my work boots. And the best way to explain it is there's 10 televisions on in my head at the same time. And every single one is on a different channel. And one is saying, you're stuck here forever. One is saying, what will your friends think if you leave? You make more money than all your friends. What will your family think? You make more money than your family. Like, what are people going to think if you leave this job? You're never going to make another $100 an hour again. You're not going to find a job like that. But the loudest station for me was, do you really think you can be a successful podcaster? Because that's what I wanted. That's truly what I wanted. And in that moment, Miwa, I felt that if I ended my life, I would take my problems with me. So I hit rock bottom, rock bottom, rock bottom in that hotel room that morning. And I ended up texting Alan, my business partner, co-host. And I said, hey, man, I'm really going through it. I don't know what to do. I'm having these thoughts. And he said, so much has changed over the last couple of years for you, Kev, but your environment hasn't changed. You're still kind of doing the same thing you've always been doing, but your awareness is higher now. You understand the possibilities that are out there for you. And 3 or 4 months later, I left that job and I went full time into what we're doing today. Now, that's where many people's stories end. The next 3 years were harder than the previous four, because I was broke and I put myself into debt getting to where we are. And, you know, starting a business, being an entrepreneur is difficult. It's very, very, very difficult, especially in the podcast industry, I mean, that's a whole nother thing. And I'm sure you can attest to that, but I left that job because I didn't have any other choice. It was either that or die. And I didn't want to die. You know, I felt like I did, but I'm glad I didn't.
No, like, I think your business partner, Alan, has a very good point. When you talk about environment, like, because, like, was it Coddling of the American Mind? Basically, there's a bit where they had Vietnam veterans were taking like heroin on a regular basis over in Vietnam, just again and again and again and again. And like, therefore, okay, these guys are dude, they're not going to make it. Soon as they got back to the States, overnight stopped because they changed their environment. They were back, like, it may have been the environment they went back to was their stable home environment, or it might be a case of, yeah, they didn't have to worry about, yeah, what trap's going to go off, who's going to get shot, and like that sort of heightened anxiety disappeared. But I think many people, and I say this knowing it's not easy, if they just simply, if it's in their ability to just move, they will find themselves change entirely as a person. You know?
Yeah. I agree 100%. Right now, my fiance and I live very close to where I lived before. I lived in New Hampshire for 3 or 4 years before I moved back to Massachusetts. And there are certain places where I drive by that I just feel amazing because it brings back positive memories in that environment.
Yeah.
The gym I go to every day now is the gym that I worked out at 5 years ago a couple times. And I said, oh, that's a really nice gym. I really like that gym. I wish I could find a gym like that that's closer. Now I work out there every day, right? Well, lately I've been slacking, so it hasn't been every day. But I think that part of your results, you have to give some credit. Some of the credit for your results has to be because of the environment. It just does, because your environment is either elevating you or it is bringing you down. That just is the way it is. And it's the same for you. You are either bringing your environment around you up, the vibration, the frequency, or you're bringing it down. There's a reason when somebody very intelligent steps into a conversation, everybody's intelligence goes up a little bit because everybody's trying to reach for that, the whole environment.
Yeah. And I think, yes, intelligent discourse is a rare art, but with people like yourself, we'll claw it back bit by bit. But like, this is the thing with regards to sort of, own personal environment. And look, you go to the gym, like, maybe not as much as you should, but you go to the gym, I go to the gym. But like, this is the thing, like, there are certain things which, like, when people first start out working out and everything like this, to make things easier for them, it's like, okay, yeah, just have your gym stuff in a bag, ready to go, or just have it laid out, ready to go in the morning so you don't have to think about it. If you're really bad, sleep in your gym stuff. So you get up and you go. And that's something where you can do with your personal environment. Like, with regards to like my podcast setup, say, like, my podcast setup sits out, it's ready to go. So like, if I have to just flick on the switch, press a button, and I can podcast immediately. If I packed everything away, every single time, it's just adding friction and making it a bit of a chore. And I think that's where I think many a person falls down. Now, with regards to you living closer to, like, you know what I mean, where you used to live, do you find sometimes you go, yeah, I remember that gym, I loved going there. But is there certain, like, you mentioned the gym in a positive manner, but are there certain places which you're like, oh yeah, I should stay away from there?
Honestly, no, not really. Not really. For me, when I moved up to New Hampshire originally, it was just a line of demarcation in my life of getting away from old environments.
Yeah.
What I will tell you is I get emotionally charged nostalgia when I go back to my hometown. When I drive through my hometown, sometimes I just like cry. I don't know why. I just think it's because I'm proud of how far I've come since I lived there. And so I think your environment, a lot of times it can be perspective. It can be context. It can be a reminder. It can be a trigger. It can be a lot of different things. It depends on how you look at it. But I have a very good association with this whole location because when I lived up here, I was one of the most abundant times in my life. And I remember that abundance. I remember what that abundance feels like. It feels good. And going from abundance to entrepreneurship is not, I mean, there's a lot of scarcity when you're starting entrepreneurship. So I think that's when it became darker a little bit.
Yeah. I have to ask this question. Would you say you're at your happiest when you're in a realm of discomfort a little bit more so?
No. So I think of it this way. I think I have an altered view of discomfort.
Okay.
And here's why. So think of it this way. There's three circles. There's a little circle, a bigger circle, and a bigger yet circle.
Okay.
The middle, the smallest circle is your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. The next ring out is your learning zone. And then the furthest ring out is your anxiety zone. I have lived in the anxiety zone probably for the last 5 years because my business partner, Alan, is more capable of a human being. So his learning zone is my anxiety zone. And him and I have worked very, very close over the last 5 years, every single day. There hasn't been a day that's gone by that I haven't talked to Alan.
Yeah.
Right. In some way, shape, or form. So I think that my discomfort and my definition of discomfort is way different than it used to be. I mean, you know, my level of discomfort is me not being able to buy Christmas presents for my fiance for 2 years, or my car used to break down at red lights and I couldn't get it fixed for, I didn't have an inspection sticker. The brakes were shot and sometimes it would just shut off when I was driving it, but it was like, I can't do anything about this right now. I don't have the money. So I just think that my level of discomfort has extended far beyond what I ever thought I could handle. And now my learning zone is way bigger than it's ever been. It takes a lot more to overwhelm me than it ever has. I mean, I still get overwhelmed. I'm a human being, but it takes way more than it ever did.
I see. Now I'm sorry. I had images of you just getting like in the car with your like lady. It's like, why are you slowing down? Like, so we can stop in time for the lights. Is that going? It's like, see, I'm pressing the brakes. It's like,
oh yeah.
But okay. Like, yeah, because like, this is the thing. Like, in my research, you and your business partner, like, how can I say, you might be the same coin, but you kind of like two different sides of that coin. Yeah. And when you sort of come together, was it back in middle school?
Mm-hmm.
It was like, yes, like there was like stories of you and him like playing spin the bowl with. Mm-hmm. Like,
you really did your research. You really did your research.
Hey, like, hey. With like some of the young ladies in the neighborhood. Yeah. Yeah. So yes, obviously, like being like you had a little bit of a rift and you came back together. But I think it's just because you are like the same coin, but two different halves of it.
Yeah.
Like with like working together, how has that sort of balanced out?
Yeah, it's interesting because Alan is very analytical.
Yes.
Very analytical, very logical, where I was always an emotional thinker. Mm-hmm. So Alan has helped me understand success, financial success, wealth, numbers. I have helped Alan understand emotional intelligence, human interactions, and how the masses think. Alan doesn't understand how other people think because he's never thought that way. Alan's a genius. He's like genuinely a genius. So the way he thinks is he's thinking in the future always. He's only thinking about what happens. I mean, his goal is to live to 120. Now, not luck. He's planning. Everything he does is based on, I want to live to 120. And I also know technology will advance. So I think it's helped us in a lot of ways. Alan's been able to build systems behind the scenes that people will never see. I've been able to have conversations and build relationships with listeners that Alan just wasn't capable of in the beginning because that wasn't his strong suit. This is what I will tell you though. It has forced both of us to look in so many uncomfortable mirrors. I mean, I get insecure regularly. Every single time I talk to Alan, there's some point where I get insecure because my ego flares and it wants to keep me safe. You know, I always deal with that. That's one of the biggest challenges I've had. It's hard having your intelligence questioned or looking in the mirror of your intelligence. It's hard, but I think that's helped me really round out my character. And I get humbled every single time I talk to him. So I think that's a wonderful, it's a wonderful thing to have. It helps me out so much in other conversations where I can try to remain humble. And I think I understand my ego at a level that I never did before.
Yeah, like this is the thing. Like, yeah, I think self-reflection is one of the most difficult things for many people to do, because look, when you have that good long stare in the mirror and you like sort of you see the little dark paths and like, yeah, the little things which you like, you know, go, I have this ideal vision of myself. I am that hero of the story, like shimmering gold and like going forward. But when you look in the mirror, it's like, but with like the old saying, the brighter the picture, the darker the negative, if you get what I mean. Like that comes up time and time again. But facing those things and like really sort of working on those things, I think that's where, as well as discomfort, that's where you can really sort of grow as an individual, come stronger, become smarter, push yourself beyond like what you thought your sort of limitations were, you know?
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's interesting. I think human beings avoid what they aren't. And oftentimes I think human beings avoid what they need most. So, I mean, if we really think about it, I've always had a fair level of work ethic.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm willing to work really, really hard at things that I believe in, but I didn't understand the fundamental success principles. Alan did. So Alan was going to be financially successful with or without me. That's just a fact. He knows how to be successful. I didn't. I helped Alan understand his own ego to the point where he attracted his dream partner. And now he is in the deepest love he's ever been. Part of that is because of the conversations that we had behind the scenes where both of us were trying to remove our ego. So the reason Alan and I had our little rift is because he had an ego and I was insecure. Now we've been able to come together and we just have real conversations. Like, hey, I think your ego flared here. Hey, I think you got insecure here. And then we come together. We call it driving to five. So many of our business mentors have told us, like, it's terrible. It's a terrible idea to have a company that is 50-49. Like, you should never have a business partner like you guys do. And I think they're wrong. I just do. I think we're playing for something different. Our core aspirations, our core values, and our core beliefs are all pretty similar. And our core aspirations are to be the best men we can be. And when that happens, I'm not going to, you know, I don't care about giving away parts of the business or Alan wanting to do certain things. I just think that you have to admit when you're right and you have to admit when you're wrong and you have to admit when you don't know if you're either, you know, and Alan's the CEO of the company because he is longer term thinking than I am. I mean, that was difficult. This is my company. Technically, right? I own more of the company. It's my company, but Alan is better suited in that position. I shouldn't be driving the boat if I can't see over the dashboard. I just shouldn't be. Well, we're going to crash into everything and we're going to sink. Alan can chart the course. And I think that's the way it should be. But trust me, it took me years to get to that point where I was comfortable, even on this. For a long time, I hid Alan. I wanted people to think I did it myself, but I realized that that doesn't serve me. It doesn't serve the team, it doesn't serve Alan, and it doesn't serve the community. So I don't want to do that.
Yeah, no, like this is the thing. Like what you're saying takes a great deal of work, a great deal of effort. And with many a person, like instant gratification is a thing. And they just want it straight away. And like you go, you can, but much of the learning is in the journey. And if you don't go through the journey, you can have it, but you'll lose it because you haven't learned anything. You've just got something, but you haven't learned anything, you know?
Yeah. I use the analogy of a video game. You're going to pick up some tool in level one that you don't even know you're going to need until level 7 or 8. You can't jump right to level 7 or 8 because you don't have the right tools. You don't. I saw this ad the other day and it said, we guarantee we will launch your podcast and it'll be a top 100 podcast guaranteed or your money back. I've launched top 100 podcasts. So I know what that takes. If you have 150,000 followers on Instagram and they're pretty engaged, you'll have a top 100 podcast. If you have 275 followers on Instagram, you're not going to have a top 100 podcast launched. It's not real. It can't happen because the numbers aren't there. But that's what people sell. People sell based on your lack of awareness, right? You're 234 episodes in. There are certain things that people can't sell you on because you have enough awareness. Your awareness is high enough. In fitness, I'm not going to buy a pill that says it's going to get me in shape in 7 days. My awareness is too high. I'm not the target demographic. So you have to understand out there that the result you want, it's really an equation. It's an equation of trying something, getting a result,
yep,
measuring the result, and then altering the effort. And just that's it. You just do that forever. And eventually you'll have a level of success beyond what you do now. You can't pay for true success. It's not replicable. It's not sustainable. I think if you think about somebody who wins the lottery, what happens?
Yeah.
The vast majority of time, they actually end up with less money because their character, they're not capable of maintaining something that they weren't capable of building. If you're not capable of building it, the odds of you being capable of maintaining it are very, very slim, unless you're smart enough to hire somebody to do it for you. But that's a whole other conversation.
Well, yeah, no. With regards to the sort of lottery side of things, yes, more people go broke than actually sort of making it. It's like, because look, don't get me wrong, like, hey, I like money too. And like, this is the thing, if you give me a healthy chunk of money, like from the get-go, like if we went, yes, you won 10 million, I know I just like go, look, just lock 9 million away.
Yep.
It's like, I'm going to take this 900,000. It's like, to keep 100,000 just so live, I'm gonna go buck wild. why is that? Because no, you need just getting it out of your system. And I think so many people don't do that. But yeah, one of the things with jumping from here to there, like, okay, there is a certain amount of reps you've got to do. And I think with regards to like in the podcast world, it's like, yeah, I'm going to start a podcast. You get many a person who does that. And yeah, you go, oh, that's great. You go for it. It's like, what type of podcast are you going to do? Like, is it going to be a series? Is it going to be an interview? Is it just going to be like talking about your business? It's like, right, like I'm going to do a series. Okay. Now, to do a good series, there's a number of things you need to do. You want to be proficient with writing scripts, like building stories and making it go in a sort of 6-part series, if it's that. Or if it's an interview, you got to get good at talking to people. Or if it's talking about your business, you need to know how to, you might go, but I know everything about business. Yeah, but can you convey that information over to someone? And I think many people don't actually take that into consideration, even if they want to get a top 100 podcast in a blink of an eye, you know?
You got to think of, the main thing I always tell clients is, what is the value you are providing? And it's a fine line. Number one, you talk about what you want to talk about and you attract the people who find it valuable, or you decide in advance, I want to talk to this group of human beings and this is what's valuable to them. I think that people forget that. You at the end of the day, people listen to podcasts for value. Now, laughing your butt off at some sort of comedy podcast is value, right? Learning on a learning podcast is value. Having something just pass time in the car is value. You just have to understand what is the value you are trying to provide. And at the deepest level, what is the problem you are trying to solve? And if you stay in that lane, you'll have a more successful podcast. I'm certain of. You have to know who you're talking to. And I think a lot of people, they start it, but they don't have any direction when they start. They say, well, I'm going to start and I'll see how it goes. And it's just a dangerous way. If you start a business to see how it goes, you're most likely not going to succeed. If you start a relationship to see how it goes, you're most likely not going to succeed. If you start a diet to see how it goes, it's probably not going to be successful, right? So you have to have some sort of direction before you start, because if you just start, you're probably going to end up just starting and then just quitting. Starting's not hard. In the grand scheme of things, starting a podcast is easier than it's ever been. It takes 15 minutes if you know what you're doing, an hour if you don't. Anybody can sign up for a gym membership, but nobody else can do the workouts for you. You have to show up and you have to do that. And again, maybe it's once a week, maybe it's sleeping in your gym clothes, whatever, you know, it goes back to lowering intimidation and lowering resistance. So yeah, that's part of it too.
Yeah, no. No, yes, I agree. No, it makes me laugh. But like, yes, because they go, oh, I think podcasts are on like 3 million podcasts like out there in the world. And they go, oh yeah, 3 million. It's like, yeah, but you look at the numbers and go, okay, out of that 3 million, yeah, how many of them have uploaded in the last week? And it's like, oh, okay, how many have uploaded in the last month, 2 months, 3 months? Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, then the number drops off quite severely because one of the hardest things about podcasts, they are not like YouTube channels where, like, you know what I mean? You can find it, search it, because there's so many directories out there. You know what I mean? It's difficult. Mm-hmm. And, like, so again, capturing that attention is always a difficult thing. Like, how did you manage to sort of like capture attention for your podcast?
Yeah. So first, let me just say this. Out of the estimated 3 million, I believe there's an estimate that 75% of them are no longer in production. So that just speaks to what you were saying. And the average show lasts between 7 and 21 episodes. That's the frame before pod fade kicks in and people call it quit. So you're in the 1% of the 1% of the 1% already by being at the number you're in. It just might not seem like it yet. For us, this is our phrase. This is what we live by. Scale the unscalable. We have grown our podcast and our community through one-on-one conversations and doing things that don't seem like they're scalable. Like, I do free podcast calls to this day. Like, still to this day, we make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. I do free podcast calls. It's not a sales call. There's no script. I just say, hey, what is your biggest struggle right now? Let me help you figure out what that looks like for you. That's not scalable. I can't do that forever. I send people who follow me on Instagram a video, right? That's what I do. I just send them a custom video. The second I see it come through, not the second, but I just send a video. It's not a copy paste. It's not somebody else doing it. I answer my own DMs. I do all that. So for us, we understand that if you add value, real value to a real human being, it creates a real relationship. And a real relationship has real value. And we have real people that listen who are they have invested in themselves and they invest in us. So a lot of people want the tactical, what did you post on social media? How many times did you post? What's your email list look like? I don't think it's about that. I really don't. What I would say is if you're a podcaster, record your audio and your video, put it on YouTube, chop it up into as many pieces of content you can do, share it across all your social media platforms, put it on your website, have a blog, have an email list, all of that stuff. That's super important. But after that, you have to build a relationship with your family. If you don't do that, it's not going to succeed. A podcast is one thing that cannot run by itself. It can't. It can't as successfully as you could. That's what I'll say. Can you do it? Sure. Joe Rogan can run his podcast by himself, but 99.99999999999% of people are not going to be Joe Rogan. Nobody else is going to be Joe Rogan, right? It's once in a lifetime.
No, like, this is the thing. Like, one of the things I would say, how can I put it? One of the things I would say is the sort of the additional work which is required. As you mentioned, taking that content, breaking it down. So you put clips up there and everything like this. Now, if you do it as a solo individual, which I have, like, okay, when I was back in 2020, when we were all locked down and like I was on furlough before being made redundant, losing my job, then coming back, it was like, yeah, I had the time to sort of do that chop up and everything like this. Now it's a case of don't so much have that. And I'm trying to figure out ways of sort of now acquiring people to help me with that, because to really succeed, you need a team. To succeed on a grander scale, you need a community. And like, this is the thing, just as you said, like having that one-on-one like contact with people, like that's myself. And I know this, I'm planning, don't you worry, plans are in there. But yeah, I think many people don't actually see that, and they don't like think about that side of things, because look, we all get 24 hours in a day. If you wanted to be like really break it down, you get 18 hours where you can sort of work on whatever you want. Now, for like, they go, yeah, oh, Oprah gets 18 hours a day. You go, yeah, but no. Like, Oprah's got a team what does her social media, and that might be 100 people. So if you times that by 100, you know what I mean? It's not just 24 hours. Then got a team doing this, another team. She might have six different teams. And it's like, right, Gary V, the person who is elders, how can I say, either social media god or social media pariah, which one he sits at, like, I look. But he has at least a team of 80 people churning out content each and every day. Yeah. And I'd say to people like this, if you can build a team quickly, the better things will be for you in the long run. Like, yeah. How did you start building your team for this podcast? Was it just... No,
you're good. You're good. I everything you're saying completely resonates. The first... So I remember Alan and I were doing audio only. Mm. And then we, I think probably 15, 20 episodes in, we said, all right, we got to start doing video. So we, at that point, there was no virtual, really. Virtual wasn't, it was a thing, but nobody knew about it because nobody was doing it. So we had our iPhone set up. So I would shoot on my iPhone, Alan would shoot on his, we'd upload it, and it would take hours because these were very, very high capacity files. And then I had to learn how to video edit. I learned how to audio edit at a pretty high level. I learned how to video edit at a decent level, not high, but we were using Adobe Premiere. It's the program that Hollywood directors use. So it's like, I invested time, I invested money, I invested resources in learning how to do it. Hmm. And the first time I made a teaser clip, so a 1 minute clip from one of our episodes, it took me 16 hours. My laptop crashed twice. I had to buy a new laptop. It was a whole thing, but I knew we needed it.
Yeah,
I knew that we had to differentiate ourselves from all the other podcasters that were podcasting. And how do you do it? You go a level higher. Okay, some people are doing audio only. Fine, we got to do audio and video. Awesome. Some people are doing video that isn't really that good. Okay, we have to do a two camera shoot. Mm. One on Alan, one on me, and it's going to cut every time Alan talks and every time I talk. All right, what's next? We need teaser clips and they need to be good. All right, cool, that's next. So I did that for... I don't know, probably the first 2 years, maybe more than that. I did all of our audio editing, all of our video editing, all of our uploading. I did that. It got to the point where somebody reached out to me through one of our mentors and he said, hey, I'm thinking of starting a podcast. Can you help me? And I said, what are you looking for? And he said, well, I want all the audio done, the video done, teaser clips. I want it to be like you guys are doing, but I don't want to do any of it. And I was like, interesting. Okay. I started doing all that as well as our episodes. And then I realized very quickly that I couldn't maintain all that. So I found a video editor and then I found an audio editor and they started doing that, which was making us money, and they were doing ours as well. So that freed up more time for me to go get more clients. And that's how our business, that's how the biggest part of our business started. We started making money and then I was able to reinvest that money into making more money. But it started with $50 a week coaching calls. That's really how the business started. Free coaching calls, honestly, that turned into $50 a week. But you'll know when it's the right time. I always say you got to treat it like a business. Mm. You have to spend money to make money in a business. You just do. Whether it's investing in, if you're an ice cream shop, you have to invest in really good ice cream makers, or you have to have somebody behind the counter slinging ice cream. You got to pay for the lights. You got to pay for the air conditioning. You got to pay for water for the bathrooms. Like, you have to invest money to make money. You have to treat it like a business as early as you can. I always tell podcasters, make money as soon as humanly possible. If you're in a value add podcast, start coaching. You don't need a website. You don't need a syllabus. You don't need millions of followers, an email list. All you do is start having conversations with your listeners and say, hey, I'm starting a free coaching program. Do you want in? And people who say yes, cool. You coach them for free for a month, 2 months. And then you say, hey, this is something I'd like to keep doing, but I can't do it for free. Mm. And then you just see what you can get. And that's how you start a business. It's the safest way to do it because it's costing you the least amount of money, but it's going to cost you money eventually. It has to. Mm.
See, See, like you make it sound so simple, so easy. Here's how I go. It's like, this is how. It's like, come on, Kevin. It can't be that straightforward. It can't be that simple.
It's not. It's not. But it's not as complicated. I mean, when I say it's not that straightforward, I mean, maybe if you're 20 episodes in, you don't have the opportunity to get a client yet because you don't have people reaching out about your show.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Post on Instagram. Go onto your Instagram story and message everybody who watched your story. There's no shortage of attention out there. It's just a matter of whether or not you're willing to start the conversations. So many people are afraid to ask. You just got to ask and get, you never know when you're going to get a yes. You never know, but you're never going to get a yes if you're not willing to risk a no. So is it that straightforward? No, but this is what I'll tell you. I had a call with a client and she said, hey, I have to start monetizing. And I said, have you ever thought of doing coaching? She said, no, I didn't really think anybody would pay for it. All right, cool. This is what I want you to do. I want you to start sending messages to people watching your story. And I want you to send messages to people who talk about and share your podcast. And I guarantee by this time next month, you'll have clients. And she had 3 or 4 clients. So it's she has 80 episodes or something like that. So she's got a ground level foundation. She has a foundation built. So it's not like it started overnight, but it's, you have to first believe it's possible. If you don't believe it's possible to make money podcasting, it's not. So just go in with that understanding of, look, I'll start coaching somebody for free. And in a couple months, maybe they'll pay me. That's a great place to start.
No, like this is the thing. Like I listen to you. I hear the proactivity behind that voice. I hear it. I believe it. Look, I'm like, you're like, yes, you're perfectly fine. You're right. You're correct. I know there are some people where it just like they go, yeah, they listen to you and go, you know what I mean? They've got that negative Nancy, like, how can I say, core to them. And you know, you're trying to break that core and you're just like, right. And they just can't believe it. They can't see it. They can't get with what you're saying. Like, it's like, easy for you to say, you handsome bastard. It's like, yeah. There you are sitting there with your business partner. Happy as Larry, earned 100 grand and like, yeah. But like, it's like one of those things where they don't, because they only see the tippy top and they don't understand the struggle you went through. Like when you say you went into debt, how much debt did you go into to sort of like get this sort of like going, you know?
$35,000 credit card debt, high interest, all of it. Yeah.
$35,000.
Yeah. And again, in the grand scheme of things, entrepreneurship, that's not that much. I mean, I know people who've been $1 million in debt. So it's not to compare that, but I think it's how invested are you? I mean, what are you willing to risk? Not everybody is willing to risk as many. And I don't think everybody should be. I joke about it. This journey has taken pieces of me I will never get back, but I'm serious. I'm not kidding. It has taken parts of me I will never get back because I wasn't ready for it. I didn't know how hard it was going to be. I just didn't know that. So not everybody can succeed at the level we have because not everybody's supposed to go the way we're going. And I'd be lying to you if I said you're supposed to have a top 100 $500,000 a year podcast. Maybe you're not, because are you willing to do what it'll take to get there? That's up to you. I won't tell you whether or not you are. Are you capable of starting a show? 100%. That I'm certain of. Are you capable of growing it till it's your full-time gig? Depends. It depends on the intangibles you have. It depends on your core values. It depends on what you want out of life. It depends on your situation, right? I mean, if you have 5 kids and you're struggling to pay the bills, it's going to be very hard to monetize and delegate stuff. So it all depends on the human. So, you know, if you're out there right now and you're thinking, Kev, that's BS. It doesn't work for me. Maybe it doesn't. And I admire the fact that you're willing to challenge me on it. And maybe it doesn't work for you, but what's the next layer? How could it work for you? Could it in some way, shape or form, if you just took a step back and said, all right, this is the problem. What is the solution I can focus on? You never know. Maybe your cousin video edits and you can exchange babysitting for video editing. We've done bartering in the beginning. We didn't have any money, right? So I think that if you're looking for a If you're looking for the problem or the excuse, you get lost in it. If you're looking for a solution, maybe you'll find something that didn't seem to be there before.
Yeah, no, I like you, man. Because
I like you.
It's like, yeah, you find, like, you look and you find the way. Like, look, because, like, this is the thing. It is easy in this world to, like, yeah, find that excuse why you should not be doing something, why it's difficult, why it's hard. And look, there are sometimes that excuse is real. And you know what I mean? There's not a lot you can do about it. But with every excuse, there is a way around it. Like, look, apart from death itself, because, hey, that is it. Game over, done. But, like, yeah, finding that way over the excuse can be difficult, but there is the way. And finding that way and going with that way, you know what I mean? When people, like, oh, no, can't do it, it's like, have you really sat down and thought about it? Have you really sort of tried to circumnavigate that problem, that excuse? And I would say for a number of people, no. And if every excuse keeps coming up and they're like, no, I can't do it, then is this truly where you need to be? Maybe you're meant to be elsewhere. And that might be just the truth of it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree 100%. One of the questions I get asked fairly often is, do you think entrepreneurship or starting a business is for everybody? My answer is flat out no. Is mixed martial arts fighting in a cage for everybody? No. Is basketball for everybody? No. I'm 5'4". The odds of me making the NBA are pretty low unless I have a really good three-pointer. And I don't. It's garbage. I don't. So I think that there's that fine line, right? Because I want to be somebody who's empowering other humans. Mm. But I don't want to say anything is possible for anybody at any point. Because honestly, that's also misleading. It's misleading. Most podcasters won't succeed at the level we have because there's only one of them. It's not Alan and I, it's not that unique thing. It's not, you know, the ability to work 16 hours a day, the ability to work 7 days a week. Alan and I both work every single day, right? We don't take days off. That doesn't happen. Now I don't work 16 hours every day, but I work every day. That's a whole nother thing. And now this is my full-time job and I didn't have a family. So I just think that you have to have three beliefs in order to accomplish anything. You must believe it is humanly possible. Is it possible humanly to jump 75 feet in the air? Not yet. It's just not. I can't just jump 75 feet in the air. It doesn't exist. No human's ever done it, right? It's not humanly possible.
If you could, NBA would be calling.
That's what I'm saying. If I figure that out, I'm going to have a whole new career. The second thought is it possible for me? So is making $1 million a year from a podcast humanly possible? Yes, 100% people do it. Is it possible for you? That's the question to ask. And the third question that a lot of people get locked in and stuck on, will it be worth it? That is the one thing I have never doubted. I know this will be worth it. I know it will. I'm certain of it. I've always been certain of it. I didn't believe it was possible for me. That was my biggest thing. So I have nothing but empathy if there's somebody out there who doesn't believe it's possible, because I lived my entire life thinking that. Mm. I really, really, truly did. I still have bouts of imposter syndrome. I still have bouts of uncertainty, of fear, of discomfort, of insecurity. I deal with that every single day. I really, really, really do. It's better than it's ever been. But I still deal with it. I still struggle. And I don't ever want to pretend I don't. I think that's beautiful. I think we all do at our own level. And I think that's important to be transparent about it.
Yeah. No, I hear you. No, I agree. Like, this is the thing. Like, the whole thing is, like, for me, listen to you. Like, all of these things sort of circle back to sort of self-reflection for me. Mm-hmm. Because, like, having that self-reflection, being finding your authentic self at that moment in time of your life will basically can empower you to, like, go, yeah, okay, I'm doing this. To be absolutely honest, it's not hitting the notes. I'm doing this. It's my purpose. It's my dream. It's my passion. Either which way. But I go back to it, I think a number of people, when it comes down to, like, doing either podcasting or something entrepreneurial or anything like significant in life, they might not have that sort of realm of finding their authentic self, and they still might need to seek them out, which is somewhat difficult, you know?
Yeah, it is. But you finding yourself, that starts with you in the dark. That doesn't start with you in front of a microphone, doesn't start with you in front of a camera. Yeah. You know, it's, I think that's the important distinction, is you have to find you first. And what people talk about a lot is the importance of learning. Trust me, I learn every day. I am unreasonably focused, and I think it's unreasonably valuable. But what people don't talk about enough is unlearning. Part of self-awareness is unlearning old conditioning, unlearning limiting beliefs, unlearning thought patterns that do not and never have served you. And a lot of the beliefs you have aren't even yours. So that's an important part. Finding your authentic self means getting rid of the BS opinions or the BS labels other people have put on you. You have to figure out not only who you actually are, but who do you actually want to be? You know, if you locked yourself in a room and there was no external, there was no stimuli, who would you want to be? Who would you want to be if it didn't matter to anybody else? That's where you got to start. And that's a difficult conversation to have, because oftentimes it seems like a stranger.
Yeah.
It seems like somebody you've never met or you never have seen in the mirror.
You know, like, this is the thing. I think for most, like for most of your life, you only know sort of 30% of who you are. And like, then basically through circumstances, you get to know yourself a little bit better. And I would say if you're sort of the average person, you might get to 40, maybe 50% on a high side. Anyone who can go, yeah, I know myself 70, 80% is like, oh, that is a very unique individual right there. Because they've like really sat down and gone through, like they've experienced a hell of a lot of life, or they've like gone through and seen themselves in a number of different circumstances and go, yeah, this is who I am. Mm-hmm. And people like, oh, you say 70, 80%. It's like, yeah, no, there are certain things I don't want to know. If like, you know what I mean? That's like, okay. If life got a little bit, what would you know? What would you do for a Klondike bar? I don't want to know. Like, that's like, no. It's like, there's a certain level that's like, oh, leave it be, you know?
Yeah.
But what would you do for a Klondike bar?
Like, I don't know. It depends. It depends on how hungry I was, probably. You know, if I was full, probably very little. If I was hungry, right now, I'd probably do a lot, because, you know, and you know, you're a podcaster. When you podcast all day, your throat gets a little sore. So a Klondike bar would do really good for me right now in my throat. So I don't know. I'd be willing to do more than usual.
Whoever's in the room with him, get out now.
All alone.
Yeah. Like, so, like, this is the thing. Like, one of the things you, like, you have a crazy sort of target. Well, crazy, ambitious. Yes, ambitious.
Eh? Crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, how many podcasts do you want to get on? To, like, you know what I mean, have it like and be a guest on, because it's a high number.
Yeah, right now I think I'm doing 5 a week, so I'm doing 12, at least 12 podcast episodes a week, plus I'm starting my own podcast about podcasts. So I think the goal right now is probably whatever 52 times 5 is, what's that, 260?
Yeah.
260.
Oh,
for the impact. Yeah. For the impact. I mean, our podcast is doing really well, and we have a very successful show, and I'm grateful, but this is for impact, and this is for mastery. Every time I go on a show and I tell my story, or I get asked a question that I've never gotten asked before, it helps me understand myself and how to deliver value to people at a different level. And it's awesome. I get to talk to people across the ocean and around different parts of the world. It's just, I don't ever want to get too good. And for the listeners, that's in quote, like air quotes. I don't know. I like having conversations with people. It's fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's fun.
I hear you.
Like, and people like you who do research and you show up and you're serious and you take your platform seriously. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to share the mic with somebody like you.
Like, this is a thing. Look, you've taken your time out of your busy schedule to like sit down with me today to have this conversation. Look, I have to at least do something to take my time out to like, oh yes. Like, you know what I mean? I haven't gone, deep into your life that's like, oh, he did this when he was a teenager. I go, you're still going, right, you're just like stopping. Like, that's really creepy, dude. Like, no, but in order to have a conversation, in order to have like to start something, you can't just be like, hey, let's just talk.
Yeah.
You don't know me, I don't know you. And like, you know what I mean? It doesn't flow like that. And I think some people do think it flows like that. It's a craft. It takes time to work on. And look, this is the thing. The day I go, yes, I know everything about podcasting, that's the day where I need to like turn everything off, like pack it away, sell my stuff, because yeah, the ego's got too big and I'm not going to be, I'm like, the thing I gain from podcasts will be truly lost, you know?
Yeah. I, at a deep level, I do. I will never know it all. And a part of that is because I don't believe in myself. That's a deep part of it, honestly. But there's so much to learn. And podcasting is an art. It's speaking, it's communicating, it's interviewing. And then below that is everything else, like social media and having conversations and sales and all of that stuff, influence. There's so many different things. I think of it like the gym. I'm 32. I've been going to the gym consistently for 16-ish years.
Cool.
And I've taken time off and, you know, I've had injuries and all that, but there's still things that I do where I say, oh, I've never felt it like that before. I had a great chest day today. I worked out my chest and I did a different order. I did bench press and I did cables and it felt different because my elbows were a little further out. And there's always room for improvement. There always will be on everything forever. There's always room for improvement as long as you're looking for it. And it goes back to that self-awareness. What did I do well? What could I have done better? I should have had a bigger water jug. This is only 32 ounces. I should have had my 40 ouncer today for an hour and a half interview. That's an oversight. 1% improvement.
Back up.
Hey, good man. Good man. I'm not used to doing the hour and a half. So I usually do half to an hour max. And this is a stretch. So it's good.
Oh, you see, there you go. Stretching your like stretching your legs there, giving you a little bit more of a workout.
I appreciate it.
No worries. No worries. I have to ask. Now look. This is the thing, you and your partner, Alan, yeah, you're crazy. Like, because the reason why I say you're crazy, yeah, like 7 days a week. Boom. Like, yeah. How do you manage to get that 7 days sort of like, yeah, because, you know what I mean, podcasts, 7 days, like one day is a challenge for some.
Of course.
Seven, that's like Everest, my friend.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. And again, we started with one just like everybody else. So I always want to say, we didn't start with seven. We didn't start with three. We started with one and we just try to figure it out. It's all based on the goal. I don't want to do seven episodes a week. It's not that I decided, oh, this will be seven times as fun. It's seven times as hard. I don't want to do it. It's based on the ultimate goal. We want to put personal development in the pocket, or at least have the capability of putting personal development in the pocket of every human being on the planet from anywhere for free every day. I mean, you brush your teeth every day. If you're in a developed country and you have that opportunity, why don't you learn every day? If you can learn every day, it's going to make your life that much better. So it's based on that goal. We set the goal. And again, Alan did a lot of the goal setting because he has more belief and more foresight than I, but it was reverse engineered on, okay, if we want to have the most successful podcast in the history of self-improvement, what is that actually going to take? What is that actually going to take? We're not going to do it by doing one episode a week. It just, the impact isn't there. So if you do seven times the episodes, you have seven times the impact. Not only breadth in the amount of people you impact, but depth in how deep you actually impact them. So it's reverse engineered. I want to be in better shape, so I have to go to the gym. I don't enjoy the gym. I probably do more than your average person because I have it ingrained in me, but it still sucks. I don't want to get up when my alarm goes off. It has to be bigger than you. It's not about me. It's not about me. It just isn't. It's about the people listening. It's about the audience. It's about the family. It's not about me.
Yeah. Now, because like this is the thing, I haven't had the opportunity to listen to any of the episodes yet, but yes, I am going back to them. Like, yeah, you keep them around about half an hour from what I've seen.
Yeah.
It like, is that your sort of Goldilocks zone for all of your episodes?
Yeah. Or- so we have a frame. This is, and again, it's all, a lot of what we do is systems based. So we do, we try to have it where there's a story that'll help land the lesson. Mm-hmm. So we do a hook, story, lesson, future pace, challenge, slash question. So Alan and I each prepare one of those and we just have like a word that triggers it. So the hook might be, so we just did an episode the other day. I don't know if it's out yet. No, it's not out till Monday.
Okay.
The hook was, who knew you could learn so much from a board game? That was the hook. So you're thinking, okay, what do you mean? What are you talking about? What is this about? So that's the hook. The story is my fiance and I went to a brewery. We each had a beer. And while we were having a beer, we played Guess Who. And it's this old board game where you pick a card. It's a character. You have to figure out who it is. You have to guess who it is. And that was the story of us going through that. And I realized that back in the day, I would have just said, I don't know, is your person, do they have blonde hair? Do they have brown hair? Do they have glasses? Do they have whatever. Now I looked at it from a statistical analysis. Well, there's 70% men and 30% women. So if I say, is your person a woman? And you say, yes, I just got rid of 70% of the field. That's the best course of action. So the point and the lesson of the episode was thinking analytically will get you further than thinking emotionally. And then the ask was for people to get our free course. And that's the episode. It's each of us framing a story based on a lesson that we want to get people through. And that just is the sweet spot for us, is 20 to 27 minutes is usually where we live. 30's a little long, but we do 30 minute interviews usually.
Ah, excellent. Interesting you say Guess Who. I don't know if you've seen a YouTuber called Mark Rober. Now, basically he's a former NASA engineer. And the thing what got me, he had this, during lockdown, like he set up this squirrel obstacle course. And I basically because the squirrel was just like bird feeder, just on it again and again and again. And so it's like, sod it, let's make it hard every time. And like they finally won. But like Guess Who, like he had an episode where he did Guess Who. And like, yeah, he played to the statistics. And like basically was like, yeah, I think he got it down to he could win every time in something like 5 moves or something like that. Maybe even less. I can't remember. Yeah. But yeah.
Well, I even told my fiance, I said, it's somewhat clear that whoever put this game together wasn't fully reverse engineering it, because if so, they would have had 50% men, 50% women.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a huge loophole to have in a game. A 70-30 split is just, but again, 5 years ago, I never would have thought like that. I didn't understand statistics, analytics, logic. I didn't think that way. So that was the point of the episode, is you don't know how your thinking is going to change over the course of a couple of years. It's powerful. It's powerful.
So would you say that's been the biggest surprise to you over the sort of like last 5 years about how you've changed? Or is there other things which would come to light?
I would say confidence. I'm sure I probably come off as a very confident human being. I don't know. I don't know how people see me.
No, you don't. poorly spoken, like stumbling over your words, couldn't get a clear sentence out of you.
But that was me 5, 6, 7 years ago. I was not very confident, and I'm still not as confident as I want to be. But I'm the most confident and certain in myself than I've ever been, and that is probably the biggest thing. The biggest takeaway for me is, you know, for those of you out there who have never been on a podcast, jumping on an hour and a half podcast with somebody you've never met from across the world is pretty intimidating, right? That's pretty intimidating, but I don't really even think twice about it anymore. It's just like, all right, cool. This is next. Let me do some research, see what it's about, and just go and see what happens. And I never would have done that. I never would have done that in my past life. And that's in air quotes as well. So confidence, I would say confidence.
Hey, like you're confident to me. I feel it.
Well, I appreciate it.
Yeah. No, but like, this is the thing. I think that's always like, I try to, when it comes to my podcast, I try to help people as much as possible, as much as like, it's intimidating for you. It's intimidating for myself, but like, I don't, sometimes I've listened to a number of podcasts, like when doing research and everything like this, I sometimes don't understand why some podcasters don't like, you know what I mean? Do that. It's like, try to make the conversation as good as possible. And maybe it's just because they're early in their sort of podcasting journey. Maybe that's more times than not, it's not. But it's like, they still got a lot of learning to do. And like, trying, like, oh, you should have seen me in my first like 10 podcasts. Oh,
same.
That was an education right there. Yeah. But it's one of those things where you like go, okay, yeah, work on it. And see where you like end up. Many people just don't do it. It surprises me. That's all.
Yeah, no, I mean, I understand. If we all, and maybe not all of us, but many of us learn to ride a bike when we're young. I bet you if you took away everybody who knows how to ride a bike, if you took away their ability to ride a bike, I bet you most of them probably wouldn't learn, because it's different when you're older. You care more about what people think. You wouldn't want to be going over the handlebars 5 times in front of a group of people at the park. But when you're however many years old, you don't care. You're not worried about that. So I think that's part of it too. Now I can say, look, go back and listen to our early stuff. It's not great. The camera's off. The audio's not as good as it was. But at the time, that was the best I could do. That's just the best I could do. So I wasn't ready for people to tear that apart yet. Now I feel better about the product. So I just think that it's hard to learn something publicly because there's so much judgment that goes into that. This is what I'll say, particularly if you're a podcaster, nobody's going to listen in the beginning anyway. So get the cobwebs off, work out the kinks as you start, because you're not going to have that many listeners in the beginning anyway. So that's okay. It's a good thing.
Yeah, no, like, this is a thing, like, as you say, riding the bike, I always use the analogy of, yeah, if like babies had the ability, had the mindset of some of the adult, like as an adult, yeah, there'll be a lot of people which wouldn't actually bother walking. Yeah. It'll be like, it'd be kind of quite crazy, to say the least. But you know what I mean? Making those pushes, making like having that sort of iron will and determination to make it happen is like, it lives within us all. It's just sometimes it's either being hammered out of us or we forget.
You're capable of more than you're currently showing. It doesn't mean you're going to change the world. You'll change the world in your own way, but you're capable of a little bit more than you're demonstrating right now. And you'll be capable of a little bit more tomorrow, forever. But it's a sliding scale. Everybody's potential is a little bit different. You just got to figure out what yours is and then try to figure out how to get to the maximum level of that potential. Everybody's is different. That's okay. That's what makes us all unique.
Absolutely. And people need to remember they are enough. They shouldn't measure themselves to the yardstick of other people's opinions. Because once you do that, like, you go, oh yeah, I measure myself to that. No, you'll find very quickly you're not enough as a human being. If you do that measure, be it race, be it gender, be it, like, you know what I mean, whatever however you identify, you will never be enough. Yeah. Left, right, you're never enough.
Yeah.
But when you like go, okay, realize you are enough, and basically you might need to work on a skill or two, and then yes, you can adapt to that. Work on a skill or two there, you can adapt to that. Yeah, that's when I think superpowers are unleashed upon the world, you know?
I think, and one of our mentors, Evan Carmichael, said this, your purpose comes from your deepest pain. I think that's an important thing to check into if you're out there watching or listening. You know, my suicidal moment was one of the things that shifted my life, because I don't want anybody to have to go through what I went through. But a couple things we didn't talk about: I was raised by my mom and my grandmother. I didn't have a positive male role model in my life. Alan's father passed away when he was 2. Alan and I both grew up without fathers for different reasons, but one of the reasons we want to become the best versions of ourselves is so we can be positive male role models in people's lives. That's the through line of, you know, why we do what we do. And it's from our deepest pain. So use that pain. So many of us have that pain that we hide from, or we let it hold us back. Again, my pain held me back for a long time, but just work on, how do I shift this a little bit more into purpose? How do I help impact people to avoid what my biggest pain is, or what my biggest fears are, or what my biggest limits were? I think that there's something powerful about that. And that taps directly into what we talked about earlier, doing it for something greater than yourself. It's not about you. It's about everybody else dealing with what you don't want them to deal with, and you, what you didn't want to deal with yourself. I think it's powerful.
Yeah, no, like, this is the thing. When the conversation about male role models, I think over the last year, and especially over the last sort of couple of weeks, Oscars, say no more, have been kind of like highlighted to the highest degree, and trying to figure out what is a positive role, like male role model, is a very sort of difficult thing to do, because one, I think the conversation is not really had, or if it is had, it's either done in a sort of uber masculine way, or it's done in a uber passive way. And like the sort of middle ground, that sort of like where the common sense lies, I don't think the conversation's been having there at all.
I agree.
We
say heart driven, but no BS. That's how we try to be that heart driven. I care about everybody. I care about everybody walking the planet. I do. But the no BS of, I want to try to tell you as much of the truth as I think you can handle.
Yeah.
I think that's important. I think you deserve that. I think you deserve the truth, because you can't operate on something that isn't real. So I got to tell you the truth. So I agree. I think that a lot of people miss the mark one way or the other. You just got to figure out what side of that are you on, and how can you improve that a little bit?
Yeah, no, very true. Very true. Now, time is coming against us. But I have to ask. You're a great individual. Like, I'm like with your partner, Alan, and your team of about 10 or 11. Like, building through that sort of next level. Where would you like that sort of journey to go for you, like personally, and to like your team? Where would you like
to go? Yeah, with the team, the goal is for everybody to live the best versions of their lives. I think one of the benefits of being on this team is we'll never tell you your dreams are too big. It won't happen, because the odds are your dreams are probably not as big as ours. So unless you're going to call us crazy, it doesn't work that way. So that's one of the things, is I believe everybody will have a more successful, holistic life being on the team. And I want that for each and every person on the team.
Yeah.
And then for Alan and I, the goal is to have the most successful podcasts ever of all time in the self-improvement industry. That's what we're playing for. And stadium tours and speeches all over the world, and billions of podcast listens, like that is what we're going for. We're just going to continue. Like, it's interesting. Alan used to have this saying, just getting started. And no matter what, 900 episodes, just getting started. And I always said, like, I don't understand. What do you mean? He's like, Kev, we're only 5 years in. Like, that's not that long in the grand. If we do this for 50 years in, or 50 years, we're a tenth of the way. That's not that far, man. We haven't even gotten started yet. So all of those things, impacting billions of people. I'd like to be a billionaire. That's one of my goals, is to have a net worth of $1 billion, not just so I can have nice things, but I like to give things to people, and it's hard to give things away when you don't have them. So having that level of certainty, I believe, would help me impact more people.
Empowerment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And showing people that, look, money is not a bad thing. Yeah. Money's not a bad thing. It's, money doesn't make you, it makes you more of who you are.
Yeah.
Right. I don't believe it makes the person. I think it makes them, it magnifies them.
Yeah. No, I always say money is an amplifier.
Like, yes. 100%.
If you're a good person, money will amplify your good traits. If you're a bad person, money will amplify your bad traits.
Yep.
It's just when you hear most of the stories about money, it amplifies those bad traits, and those are the ones what go out there. But like the best criminals and everything like this, who you never get caught, like when it amplifies it in a good way, you never hear any sort of negative stories. Like, what I mean? It's like sweet, and you never see them anywhere,
I just want to do what we're doing forever. That's it. That's it. I'm very blessed. Episode 7, when it was called the Hyperconscious Podcast, I said I wanted to wake up when I want. I want to go to sleep when I want. I want to podcast with people that I love, go to the gym when I want, spend time with my friends and my family, and I want to be my own boss. And that, like, I get to live my dreams every day, and I'm very, very grateful for that. But we call it ambitious. Well, it was dissatisfied, but hungry. Like, I'm dissatisfied with what I have, but I'm grateful for it. Grateful dissatisfaction. And I don't like dissatisfied. I don't think it's a good word. So we call it aspirational gratitude. I'm grateful for everything I have, but I'm very hungry to continue getting to the next level and helping more people. So it's that forever. It's being in that zone of gratitude, but hungry. Grateful, but hungry. I think that's a good place to be.
Excellent. Last question. Absolutely. What was the last thing you were grateful for?
The last thing I was grateful for, I actually said this to my fiance today. So we have two kittens, Fudge and Ace. They're both 1 year old. And Fudge jumped off something today and actually broke his hip. He broke his hip this morning. And I told my fiance that I was grateful for how good of a cat mom she is. I actually have my, hold on. I have my cat dad shirt on. Let me show it. Cat daddy. So it's appropriate. It's appropriate for the day. So that is what I'm grateful for. I'm grateful for how good of a cat mom and partner she is to me.
Ah, excellent. Because yes, I saw a picture of your cat on Instagram, like guarding your desk, like listening at you, like going, look, I will move when you feed me.
That was Ace. Ace is a little sassy. Fudge is shy. So he's a little angel. So we got to nurse him back to health.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, like, you know what? I wish your cat a speedy recovery.
I appreciate that.
Yes, as a cat dad, you are brilliant. Can you, like, I'm sorry to say this, but yes, our time has come to an end.
I know.
Yeah, I know. Can you tell the lovely people out there how they can find you? How they can find you out on these interwebs?
Yes. So just search Next Level University on all the major podcast platforms. We'll be there. And we're also on YouTube. And if you want to reach out to me, Kevin Palmieri on Facebook or LinkedIn, and then at Never Quit Kid on Instagram. That is probably the best place to reach out.
Outstanding. Thank you very much, Kevin.
Of course.
You have been awesome. Yeah. I've got to say thank you to you, my friends, my life warriors, who have stuck with us to the end of this show. Let me just say, stay safe, stay well, be awesome, be excellent, be fantastic. Be all the positive bees you can be in this world and then some. Have a great day, guys. Yes. Peace. And we are...